Hi, my name is Alex Donaldson, and I'll be conducting this interview on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 25th of August 2009. If you could please state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
Yeah, it's Ricky Kravchenko. I'm 47 years old, and I'm from Buckinghamshire.
And how are you doing today?
I'm delighted to be here. I'm very excited. I can't wait to go on. I'm going on in about 40 minutes' time, and it's going to be brilliant. It's going to be lovely to be part of this experience.
So can I take you back to how you initially heard about the project?
I've been a fan of Gormley's for a long time, and always just thought his work was ambitious and brave and different and felt very modern, which was nice, but not to the point where it was just sensationalist, actually just modern and beneficial, and seemed to be kind of socially inclusive as well, which I really liked. So I'd heard about him, and I was just listening to Radio London, in fact, and they were talking about it, and they said, if you want to apply, and like all these things, you think an enormous long shot, and I did, and I had two rejections, and then the third one came through about midnight on the 1st of July or something, and I ran downstairs saying, oh my God, I'm going to be on the plinth. So it was absolutely fantastic, yeah.
And what was it that actually inspired you to get involved?
I think, twofold really. I think initially it was the whole being part of just this great project and being a big fan of Gormley, and I thought what a great thing and how inclusive for everybody, just ordinary people like me, which was great. And the more I thought about it, the more I wanted to be part of it, just as a sort of thing for my children as well, because I thought it'd be fun for us all to be here. It'd be great for them to see something that is just out of their normal boundaries of normality. I mean, they're only, they're 5 and 7. And this will be a great experience that we'll all remember for all very different reasons. And I just think they were the main two kind of driving forces. And that, obviously, as time goes on, I've just become slightly obsessed by it on a very kind of selfish level, because I'm just, as I said before, just very excited to be here.
So what do you think of the project so far? What do you think of its progression since the beginning?
I think it's amazing that you're getting this many people turning out. I know you've got default procedures and all of that for people who don't who are no shows. But I think the big impact will be when it's all edited together and it becomes an installation, if that's what it's called. I think it's great that people want to get involved. I think it's that we haven't reached the point where we're all a little bit too cynical and think, oh, just what's the point? Because I've had a very mixed reaction from people. Some people have just said, oh, what a brilliant idea, and got very enthused, and the more enthused they've become, the more enthused I've become. And others people have just said, I just don't get it. Why on earth are you doing that? What a weird thing to do. So I think, it depends who I'm talking to at the time in terms of how I react, but overall I know it's the right thing to do. And in terms of my reaction to the whole project, I think when I see it in its entirety, I'll consider it even more of an honour to have been part of such a great thing.
So could you talk a little bit about your ideas for your hour today?
Yeah, I'm a very keen typographer, and I love the mix of modernity with classicism. So what I wanted to do, and there's something to do with the sort of slot as well, and it being a white column against the gallery, the National Gallery, I wanted something that said everything about me as well as I think the project. So it's a classic, it's an art exhibition, if you like, but with a modern twist. And I think my outfit says that and says a lot about me. And I think I'll just be enjoying the moment. I think I'll just be up there. I'll have music playing on my iPod, and I'll just be indulging in the enormity of standing in the middle of Trafalgar Square, which would just be great.
So how exactly are you dressing?
I'm going to have it's quite hard to describe, really. It was an outfit that was made for Vini's opera by a company in Holland, who I did a little bit of research. I knew the sort of thing I wanted, but only found stuff that was very traditional. And I found a company called Tentacle and rang them. And they said, we don't have that particular outfit anymore, but we can make it for you. And they did. So it's quite sculptural, with a classic twist. So it's and it's white, and I've got a wig, so I won't be recognised, hopefully. No, but so that's that's a combination of something that's creative, something that's about me, something that fits in with the environment. And I think there's lots of other people that have done similar type things, but I think it feels right personally for this project.
Do you have quite an interest in costume?
Yeah, I think there's part of me that thinks it's, and this is probably a social comment as much as anything, it's about sort of falling standards, and I think it's really nice when people make an effort, whatever that means, and however that can be interpreted. And I think it's a shame that we don't bother. I don't know whether it's costume. I think it's just, it is just trying to make the best of yourself, and sometimes you succeed, sometimes you don't. But if the energy's there and the will to do it is there. But I'm a designer, so I am interested in the aesthetic.
And when you say you're interested in a classical style with contemporary twist, in what respect? Style, fashion, interior?
Yeah, I mean everything really. I think, I like a minimalist environment, but I would like a Baroque mirror hanging in one corner. So I like the contradiction. And I think that's kind of a way I'd like to live my life, with, less is more, I think it's about quality, not quantity. I can glean great pleasure from just something that's aesthetically beautiful, no matter how small, how simple, how cheap. But if it's something that pleases me, it does satisfy me in lots of ways. And I think, as I said, in this rather cynical age, there's just not enough of that.
So you said you're a designer.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate? How long have you been doing that for?
A very long time. Since I left college, I graduated in graphic design and was very fortunate to find a job in broadcast. So I'm a motion graphic designer. But that spills into all sorts of things. And I do content graphics and title sequences and bits and pieces. So it's a lovely way to make a living. I'm very fortunate.
And do you have quite a lot of personal input?
Oh yeah, a huge amount. Certainly when there's at the concept stage, there are guidelines and there'll be a design brief, and you'll obviously have to answer to that brief in the sense that a programme may have, it'll have a particular audience, it will have a remit of sorts, it will no doubt have some input from the people, the journalists that make the programme. And all those need to be considered, and where it's marketing strategy, where it sits in its broad band of programme making, and you respond to that. So hopefully you come up with a creative solution that satisfies all those needs. Sometimes you do, and sometimes you maybe hit one or two, but actually it's encompassing enough to get your result.
Would you say you're quite a creative person, artistically as well?
Yeah, I think I'm more of a designer than a painter or an illustrator. I mean, I do paint and I do draw, but I don't think it's up to much really. I mean, it's just a way of expressing yourself, and I think I lack personal confidence. I'm just too aware of people looking at stuff that I've made or drawn, or it's fine when it's design. So if there is a distinction to be drawn, I'm a creative designer, if that. Is any probably no clearer at all, really, is it?
No, that's great.
But yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about where you're from, kind of where you grew up, where you live now?
I'm a product of immigrant parents. My father was Russian, my mother German. Unfortunately, they're not around anymore. And we lived in the Kravchenko bubble. It's my surname, my father's surname, in Buckinghamshire. And I was brought up there, so you can imagine in the 60s, it was just we were aliens, we kind of just arrived. And although I was born in England, I didn't speak English until I was four. And so going to school and mixing with kind of English kids was quite a big deal for me. It was strange when my parents just spoke German at home. So I lived there till I was 19. And at 19, I left and went to London. And on and off, have lived there for the past, God, blimey, about 20 years. More than 20 years. And then, and I adore London. I mean, it's fantastic. And the only thing that actually made me move was having children. So we moved out and we bought a place outside of town, which is only 30 miles away. And I think my long-term ambition is to retire to London. Yeah.
What's your relationship like with the city?
I just find it exciting, frustrating, irritating, and fabulous all in one. I mean, it's just a wonderful city. And, I haven't been to a million cities, but I've been to lots of European cities and some others as well, further afield. There is just something intrinsically fantastic about it. It's diverse, it's interesting, it's got the best galleries, it's got the best street performers. I like the individuality of the people. I like the way you can be conspicuous and anonymous all in the same breath. I think if you can live your life here, and I think that's quite hard when you've got kids doing all the sort of normal stuff, I just think it's one of the best places to be. I think it's constantly inspiring. It has a lovely, I mean, obviously, you know, it's a big city, so there are places that you may not feel as comfortable as others, but I do think it just, for me at least, it thrills me. There is a buzz about it. I mean, anything from having a coffee to going to the theatre, to going to an art exhibition, to walking down Clerkenwell Road, you know, any, I just love it. I think it's a fantastic city, and I think I'm very fortunate to have been part of it for so long.
Yeah. And just to go back to, you mentioned your parents. Could you talk a little bit about your Russian and German heritage?
Yeah, my father left shortly after the war, Second World War, so and left in very unfortunate circumstances. So unfortunately, I didn't get to know or meet any of my Russian ancestors. I just heard some rather grisly tales about what happened to them. On my mother's side, she came over here after she'd lost her fiancé in Germany, and she was in her 30s. And strangely enough, a Russian and a German met in Oxford. And I did speak German. I do speak German, not fluently anymore. But and we used to spend long, long summer holidays in Germany with my family. So I got to know aunts and uncles and cousins, and I feel very much part of that still. And I'd like my children to experience that too.
Do you often go back to Russia and Germany?
Don't never go back to Russia, because it was instilled in me. I you know, this is, and it sounds absurd, but my father, you know, did ask me to promise him that I would never go there, because he left in such dreadful circumstances. So the legacy of that still remains with me, which I suppose if you weren't brought up being told that, seems rather absurd. But I can't quite shake it off. I'd love to go, because I don't feel quite complete. But we'll see. Yeah.
So you said that you have children?
I have children.
And do they speak German?
I'm trying to just drop lots of German language into the conversation. They understand a lot. So I'll talk, you know, I'll, at breakfast I'll use a German word for various things. And they, you know, they just respond to it, because kids are great and adaptable, and it's not odd. It's just another word. Mm. It just happens to be German. But yeah, they're I think they're interested, and I think they feel how I feel about my heritage as well. I think they certainly sense that, you know, mummy has a view. And I think they quite like that. And then they'll grow to love it too. They'll grow to love that there's another strand to them as well.
Could you talk a little bit about your interests?
Yeah, I like to take photographs. I love going to live concert, theatre, any of that sort of stuff. So I mean, that's kind of pretty encompassing. I don't get a chance to do a great deal of it. I love film, I love going to the cinema, independent cinemas I really love going to. We're in the middle of the country now, so I love to walk. I love to kind of absorb what's around me, because it's all too, I think the pace of life can be, like everybody says, but it's true, can be just too fast, and you need to just really make a conscious effort to stop and absorb. And that's, I suppose, partly what this is about tonight as well. It's a similar kind of thing. So that's mainly how I occupy most of my time, and having two small children and a full-time job keeps you quite busy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Job-wise, you're happy continuing down the road you're going at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd like to, when I get time, and I mean, I'm currently trying to design a typeface, and I'd like to do more individual projects like that as well. So I felt that I'd done something rather than being spurred on by work. And I don't mean that necessarily in a negative way, because work's great and inspires me to do lots of things. But it is about going into a building, working, and coming home at the end of the day. So it doesn't quite have the free form feel about it. And I'd like to do more of single projects, more individual projects, in addition to working.
What would you say is important in your life at the moment?
My children and my creativity.
And ultimately, what are you trying to, or what are you wanting to get out of this experience today?
Oh God, that's such a hard question. It's something very deep inside of me that I have this desperate need to fulfill. And I think it's a combination of lots of things. As I said earlier, I think the creative side of me responds very well to this. I love the fact that it's you know, an alternative twist on a conventional subject. I love that. I think if I come away having breathed the night air, felt part of the experience, and met some interesting people en route, that's enough for me.
And have you brought anybody with you today, particularly?
I've got my children are here. They'll be hopefully arriving about 2 o'clock. And my partner and my niece will be here.
And how are you feeling about the live streaming?
I may have a problem with it when I think about it. I don't really have a problem with it. I think, you know, people will have a view, whatever you do. So I don't mind at all. And I think it's a live project. It should be live streamed. It makes complete logical sense to me. The kind of, you know, the logical side of my brain says, well, of course it would be streamed. And as I said, as for what people think, well, hey, you know, they think what they think.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, just thank you very much for letting me be part of this.